Hey Wolverines, this is Group One. I'm VJ and we're here with Lawrence and Brandon on the first episode of DVTV's Downstream Podcast. Each of us will be sharing a movie, a TV show, and a game. Let's start with Lawrence.
Hello. The movie I chosen today is Jojo Rabbit, which came out in 2019, so it's pretty recent. It's set during World War II. A boy in the Nazi youth, his life is turned upside down after he finds a Jewish girl that his mother has been hiding. You can stream it on HBO Max, Hulu, and Amazon Prime Video. The writer-director was Taika Waititi, who's directed movies such as Hunt for the Wilder People, Boy, Thor Ragnarok, and What We Do in the Shadows. The actors in this movie are Roman Griffin Davis, Thomasin McKenzie, Scarlett Johansson, Taika Waititi, Sam Rockwell, Alfie Allen, Rebel Wilson, Steve Merchant, and Archie Yates. This genre is a comedy satire slash drama. Its similar movies are Moonrise Kingdom and Hunt for the Wilder People, which was directed by Taika Waititi. Why I think this movie is worth your time is because maybe it flew under your radar. And this movie is really, really, really good. Not only are the performances really well or really good, the directing is phenomenal, the writing's phenomenal, the cinematography is really, really good. The music, the score, the soundtrack, it's all very cinematic and very like upbeat, but it's also able to like strike really low, which I think is something to say about the movie, because it's a comedy at first and a drama, but it builds and it's constantly building on itself. And by the time you're laughing and you feel really attached to these characters, Taika Waititi kind of shifts the story and the tone, and you're taken to places that are very sad, but it also begins to build up into something really heartwarming at the end that I feel like people are going to be like really grateful that they watched the movie. So I really recommend this one to people who like movies such as like from Wes Anderson, or they just like comedy movies, because it's not necessarily your original or your kind of the Hollywood comedy that just kind of gets shot out like every month. It's really, really thorough within the characters, so the characters are really built up. It's just a great movie. Do you guys have any questions?
So who would you recommend this movie to? Like, what, you know, like the sort of genre, like is there like action or?
Yeah, it's a war movie, so you're definitely gonna get, the beginning of the movie, there's kind of like a Buster Keaton type of comedy, kind of like the Three Stooges type of stuff, like physical comedy that I think people are really gonna like for that type of stuff. But the comedy is just kind of like, not a facade, but it's kind of, it's there to make you laugh. Like
it's like a light thing.
Yeah, the director wants you to enjoy it, but it's also, the comedy, you start to like laugh at stuff that's very absurd, but it's like in the absurdity where like you just like, oh my God, I'm laughing at this. It's a really challenging topic to discuss, because it's about Nazi Germany, and especially from the youth, he's like a fanatic, so that's also, you're kind of like laughing at the character for like how fantastical he is, and he has his imaginary friend is Hitler, so it's very like, you're very like aware, it's not meta in any way, but you're very aware of the situation.
Yeah, and it's like eye-opening kind of, right?
Yeah,
surprising.
Yeah, and then if some people who like just like, it's a thorough movie, like there's not necessarily, you're not only going to be laughing, you're going to be possibly crying.
Yeah.
You're going to feel something very,
it's
very,
a full story.
You're going to be very attracted.
Yeah.
It's not like just a comedy where it's just
jokes,
and at the end of the movie, then it feels sincere. It's like constantly bouncing back from the sincerity to this kind of absurdist comedy, and it's just constantly moving that you're never really lost and specifically just one genre, so
it's a mix of really, really, all the worlds of film, basically.
It's really, really cinematic.
So it caters to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I've never watched it, so I guess that'll be one of those that I have to watch. Yeah.
So with that said, is there like overall tone of the movie, like the colors and stuff, just like constantly switching as well?
The cinematography does play to the tone.
Okay.
So as the movies vary, like it's set in World War II, and like all the movies that you've seen probably from World War II are very like desaturized, and they're gritty. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm thinking Saving Private Ryan.
They're washed out.
You know, they're washed out. They're very serious. It's very, very, very serious. But Taika Waititi takes it a different direction. The production design is very homey. There's a lot of sunlight. There's color. The costume design is very colorful with different patterns and all this great stuff. But as the movie builds, it builds a world up that you lose yourself in the idea that, oh, this was Nazi Germany. There was millions of people were being dislocated. It was a genocide. So you always, like, that's always in the back of your head. But then you understand that he's not ignoring it. He's just telling you, he's trying to tell you the story. And the cinematography plays very well to that, because as the story shifts, you start to see the color grading of the film changes. But then mm-hmm. it's able to maneuver back. And it's... So it's very apparent, you can see it, that it's very bright. And then as the story starts to shift and go into the more serious topics, then it becomes, it's very bluish. It's a little bit desaturized.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shifts back into this bright, kind of colorful world, which...
So basically, he also tells a story, not only with the script, but with the cinematography.
Yeah, the music's great. It's very... It's like it's a mix between this, like, it sounds very kiddish and innocent, but it's also, it's able to bring in, and there's a sequence that I'm not going to spoil, but it's very, very, very nerve-wracking to watch, and it comes out of nowhere, and when the first time I watched it,
there's a lot of suspense.
It really hit me. I was not sure where it was going to go. So that scene is going to hit you. And there's a very, very, very emotional scene that I'm not going to spoil, but it hits you hard. But he builds up to it. It just doesn't, like, a lot of times when you watch a comedy drama or just a comedy, they hit that, like, some, like, the sadness or, like,
yeah,
the little
heartwarming
part at the end. And then it's, like, it's very flat and it doesn't do anything. He builds it up. So then when he finally hits you with the truth, it's devastating.
Yeah. So here's a small audio clip from the movie here.
Frau Bessler,
you're looking fetching
as usual.
Oh! Okay, wow.
It's because of you my son can't walk properly and has a messed up face.
He stole my handrail leg. Just took it.
Yeah, yeah. So you are going to look after him while I'm at work? Make sure he has a job and feels included. Got it?
Got it. Yeah, really got it.
Good.
Well, sounds really interesting, actually. So whoever's listening to this podcast, make sure you keep in mind about this film. It sounds interesting. Might be the one that you like, you know? So next up is me. And I have a TV show choice. And I decided to choose the show WandaVision, which recently... started airing about a month and a half ago on Disney Plus, and it stars actors Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany. And if you don't know who those are the characters from the Avengers, the Vision and the Scarlet Witch, if you guys have seen those. Currently there's only one season, and there's only 9 episodes. And that is about it. So, basically, this show is actually pretty interesting, because if you know Marvel, they make movies, but they took a different path this time and started making TV shows. And basically, they put the budget from a whole feature film into a TV show. And there's 9 episodes, and they're all around 30 minutes long. So basically, you're watching a short feature film every Friday. A summary of the whole film, or not the film, but TV show, is in the beginning, basically, it's set in a sitcom world. And throughout the years, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, and the 2000s, every episode's it. It transfers to a different time, showing and demonstrating what a sitcom from each different decade and how it was filmed, and it shows it in different episodes of the TV show. I think it's pretty interesting because as a filmmaker, I'm able to see the different ways that film was made back then and how it is now. You can see the comparison. It's pretty quick, actually. You can see the comparison. In the beginning, actually, it has a lot of upbeat moods. There's a lot of up, you know, it's happy, but then there's little in between moments where it gets really dark. Like there's a lot of action. It becomes a lot of mysterious moods going around, and then it abruptly goes back to the regular world. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. It's a mysterious show. A lot gets thrown at you. I don't know. That's all I have.
So I haven't seen it, but you're able to recognize like what's happening. It's
yeah.
So there's not like it.
Because okay. Usually when you watch movies, you have to watch like the previous movies to understand, you know. But I don't. It feels different for this because they tell you the backstory of everything, and then they build off of that story.
So what are the genres that they, or not the genres, the eras that they emulate?
They go from the 50s to the present day. So like, you know how like the sitcoms are every decade? So they emulate a sitcom from each decade. And they do multiple. They do multiple sitcoms from that era, and they try to combine it into one. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so they take aspects cool. from different shows, like in the 90s, Full House and stuff, and like other shows. They kind of combine it into one.
So I've only seen the trailer, and I've seen that there's like stuff from like like you said, the 50s, and then like the 70s and stuff. Is it not only the way that they filmed it in terms of like the camera work, but is the music and everything else kind of also wrapped into the...
Yes, everything. Like if you were to watch old sitcoms back in the 50s and you were to compare, it would be almost identical, to be honest. It's kind of crazy. Okay. It's kind of crazy so how they pulled it off.
Bringing these things together.
You said what?
So it's like a present thing, bringing all these like shows and stuff together.
Yeah. Know? It's kind of like a pop culture.
Do they ever take it like they take like a something from like those sitcoms and then they kind of like change them to fit them like the present day, or to like they purposely change them to like throw the audience off? Or
well, like there's one when they went to the, or I'm not gonna spoil it, but like the Full House, you know how, or not Full House, The Office, how they have breaking the fourth wall type of thing. Mm-hmm. When it gets, you know, it's kind of like that. They emulate the same thing, but they change it up for the film so it makes sense.
Okay.
I haven't so much a question, but more of like bringing up the topic of movie budget on TV and shows going, or movies going to shows. I find that interesting because...
Yeah.
You can see how much shows are like evolving into this huge thing.
Well, it's also interesting because Marvel didn't release any movies last year. They only released TV shows, and it works. I mean, this show is proving it. It's a fan. It's pretty popular around the world, I think.
So, in terms of like, because when people like think Marvel movies, they think these big action sequences and stuff like. A lot of visual effects. Does this one play to that, or is it kind of like taking the whole superhero idea of an action movie into something else?
So it's kind of a slow burn. It's a slow burn, to be honest. But in the beginning, from when you start in the beginning and then to the end, the beginning is like no action. Like it's all mostly dialogue, right? But then as you go on and watch the next episodes and episodes, the suspensefulness starts to build, and then more action is starting to get introduced. Like, and then, you know, it starts to become like how it is for the normal or Marvel movie action and stuff. So near the end, there's more action, but in the beginning, it's really no action, to be honest.
And for like someone doesn't like action movies or superhero movies, would you still recommend this to them?
I honestly think, yeah. Well, because the whole sitcom thing, it actually does feel like a sitcom. Like, you're watching a sitcom and it's funny. There's comedic moments. There's a lot of comedic moments, but there's also the abrupt moments where, you know, it becomes dark. But I also think that, I also think it would be, you know, interesting for a person that doesn't like this type of movies, because it kind of mixes things together, you know? So, with that being said, here's a little audio snippet from the trailer of the show itself.
Howdy, neighbors!
Hey, bud!
Wanda, what's up?
Who are you?
I don't know.
I think something's wrong here.
Wanda, can you hear me? Who's doing this to you?
This is our home.
Then let's fight for it.
I don't know, whoever's listening, if you guys are interested in watching this film, maybe you're interested. It's streaming on Disney Plus, and there's, as of today, there's only one episode left. It airs at midnight. So, yeah. So we have Brandon with his video game pick right here. So Brandon, what did you pick?
My game for today is Valheim. It's on PC on Steam for $19.99. It's also could come to consoles, but the devs haven't talked about branching out to other platforms or anything. It was released actually last month, February 2nd, 2021, and it is an early access game with lots more content to add. It is a survival sandbox game, sort of a mix of like Terraria, Minecraft, games like those. It is both single player and multiplayer supporting up to 10 people in the world, and it generally worth your time because it is a well-made progression game. Lots of stuff to do, time to put in, a lot of time to put in, and plus it's still in early access. The game isn't even finished yet, and it's still as amazing as it is, and it even has some big jaw-dropping numbers already. It has 4 million copies sold in 3 weeks, and it is now actually 5 million copies in 4 weeks as to this date, and it has hit 500 simultaneous players at the same time. Overall, the building feels nice in the game, the fighting feels good, progression is very easy to understand. Overall, a well-done game, definitely has earned its hype for early debut. Any questions?
So basically what do you do, what's the goal? Is there a goal?
The goal, there's these like 5 bosses overall, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could add more, could add not, because it's still early access, as I said. But basically you progress to defeat each and every single one of these bosses, as every progressional survival game would, and it makes you clear that, because you have to do certain things for each certain boss. Each boss gives you something new to defeat the next boss and everything, and there's a bunch of different areas and stuff to go to, as like, you know, like I said, in Terraria there's like these bosses in certain biomes or like areas that you can go to, kill everything there, or just do whatever you need to do and progress into the game, get new gear, new weapons, new anything.
Okay, so is it kind of like a mix of like Fortnite, Minecraft, and of the survival game. So is it
has a lot of building, because you can have an entire house. You know, there's actual cool systems, like you can get smoked out in a building, so you actually have to make chimneys and stuff like that, so you don't do that. Mm-hmm. And different things like that too, because there's also supportive buildings, so you can't just make you know, bridges and stuff without supports under it.
Mm-hmm. Is it player versus player, or is it PvE, like player versus computer?
There's both PvP aspects and PV mostly. I think everybody's playing it just for PvE right now. Mm-hmm. But okay, if you wanted to, you know, just like fight your friends or anything, I'm sure there's going to be PvP servers in the future. But
I see. So for any of you guys that are listening, if you don't know what PvP and PvE is, PvP is basically going against an actual real player.
Player versus player.
Yeah, player versus player. And then PvE is basically going against like a bot, a robot, basically, a programmed robot. Yeah.
Bunch of different how'd you say, like any bunch of different mobs and stuff to kill in different biomes.
Yeah.
There's even some big fights, like there's this big troll you could fight and everything. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Alright, yeah, it does sound interesting. I'm looking at images right now.
Yeah, it's just like a big Viking simulator type of game.
Yeah, it looks interesting. All right, Lawrence, do you have anything?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. In terms of like the world, like the atmosphere? So, what's the atmosphere feel like?
The atmosphere, it's like, say you're just a new human being to the world, like, but you know everything, so you just get dropped into this world, and everything is like, you know, pretty, how'd you say, like bright and stuff at the start. You know, it's like very welcoming. And then once you progress, go into different places, you know, you can really see how the game changes. It looks really nice, stuff like that.
All right, so here's one last clip of Brandon's game Valheim. So if you guys found any of this informational, feel free to check any of these three things out. They all seem interesting, to be honest. You guys have anything else to say?
No, decided it was a good episode.
Yeah. Hope people play the game, watch a TV show, or watch the movie.
Yep. All right, everybody. This has been Downstream, DVTV's first podcast of the year. Thank you for joining us.
See ya.
See ya.